Welcome back. Years ago, while attending a party in a New York high school, Paul Lucas found a treasure trove of old report cards in a battered file cabinet. Not the cards with gold stars or A's and B's, but cards that kept track of graduates' employment, or whether their dads were drunkards, or if they needed to borrow money to have dental work. The cards, 395 of them, were from the Manhattan Trade School for Girls, a vocational school founded over 100 years ago. Paul Lucas didn't do much with them for over a decade, but then he started researching the lives and looking up the descendants of the young women in the cards. He published his research in a series at Slate Magazine. It's called Permanent Record. It's an interactive site where you can see all the cards as well as a silent film from back in the day that features the students. You can also maybe look for your own family members. We'll link you at herenow.org. As Paul Lucas, a columnist for ESPN.com in his spare time, joins us with more on the discovered report cards. Paul, welcome.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So what was your first thought when you saw them?
My first thought was that this was an amazing batch of material. They're from the 1910s, 20s, and 30s, and I could see right away that they were remarkable artifacts. It took a little time before I sat down with them and understood just how special they were, but I could tell right away they were special.
Well, I'm looking at one that's pictured. It's for Marie Garaventa. I see her picture there. She looks so pretty. It doesn't feel like it's that long ago. But for instance, what do you glean from that card?
Where she lived, her parents' names and occupations, and those are some of the most interesting things on the report cards, because you see that these students, their parents had occupations that speak of a New York City that doesn't exist anymore, occupations and trades like rope braider and cigar maker and ship polisher and things that just don't exist anymore. It mentions that Marie is hard of hearing and that she was a bit underweight, and there are comments like that sprinkled throughout all the students' cards about their physical health and their condition.
I was just going to say, there's another card in which one young girl is so overweight that somebody writes and says, or actually it was a letter saying, please, she can't do any more factory work.
Yeah, because she wasn't physically fit to stand or to do that kind of grueling work. And we should specify here, the Manhattan Trade School for Girls was the first school of its type in America, a vocational school exclusively for girls. And before the girls could receive their diplomas, they had to demonstrate a proficiency in their trade. And usually this was one of the needle trades like sewing or dressmaking or millinery. And so the school would try to find jobs for them in one of the garment shops around New York City. And that's why these cards, these permanent records, as I call them, document not just the girls' scholastic achievements, but also their early employment histories. And that's what's so fascinating, is that it shows them out in the real world, not just at the school.
Years after graduation, we understand the school was started by families in New York like the Vanderbilts. A movie was made about it. So there's Manhattan Trade School for Girls. Let's get back to Marie, because you kept these cards for years. I mean, you found them before the internet and when it was less likely to think you might do something with them. Fast forward to 2009, I think, and you start reaching out to see if there are surviving families of these women. What did you find in Marie's case?
I was worried because in every case, you're aware that not every family history is a happy one. Not every deceased relative was a beloved deceased relative. But in the case of Marie's daughter, Doretta Laporta, she loved her mother very much. They had a great relationship, and she loved talking about her mother. And so she was thrilled by all this. She said, when can we meet? I must see this report card. She invited me to her home. And that's what happened for most of this project. People were incredibly gracious with me, opening their homes to me, sharing items from their family archives, and really letting me ask any kinds of questions, sharing, in some cases, some skeletons in their closet, and letting me connect the dots and see how the girl depicted in these student records became the woman and had the life that they eventually had.
Oh, it's fair. I would give anything to, if it were my mother, I'd give anything to see it. And just to the cards, you learn so much of the thinking of the time. For instance, there were a handful of young black girls. Their cards were marked with a dot.
A black dot. Maybe 3 or 4% of the student body were African American, and their cards all were marked with this small adhesive black dot. And I initially thought maybe it was some sort of stigma, some sort of classification or categorization. And what I eventually found is that when the school was finding jobs for the students, some employers had issues with hiring black students. They did not want to hire them. And so the black dot was a sort of code for the school's job placement office to be careful when placing these students.
It was to protect the girls.
Yes, exactly.
What is your sense of these schools? Because, you know, a modern read on this might be, oh, how awful, these poor girls were forced to these vocational schools instead of getting a more elite education. But it sounds as if there was a great deal of care about these young girls.
Absolutely. The Manhattan Trade School for Girls was founded in 1902 by a bunch of wealthy philanthropists who wanted to rescue young girls from poverty. Almost all the girls who attended this school, including all the girls in my report card collection, were from desperately poor immigrant families. They attended this school in lieu of high school. In most cases, their families initially wanted them to go straight to work to help support the family. And the idea behind the Manhattan Trade School was that by taking a 1 or 2 year course in a vocational skill, they could get a better job that wouldn't be in the kind of place that ended up in the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire in 1911. This was not a wonderful career that these girls were being trained for, but they were being trained to be self-sufficient, to have the skills they would need to survive.
Well, and one of the girls, Mary Lorang, when she was at the school, Mary Meyer, later in life, ended up designing a doll that Caroline Kennedy owned, and it was on the front page of McCall's magazine.
The Mary Meyer Manufacturing Company is still in business today in Vermont, and she was a proud graduate of the Manhattan Trade School.
You also found records from Cass Tech. This is a high school in Detroit for, you know, boys and girls. And you tracked down one of those graduates and were able to find Carmen Fanzone and give him a report card from 50 years ago. How did he react to that?
His name was familiar to me, and I couldn't remember why. And since he was a boy, and men are much easier to track because they don't change their names like girls at Manhattan Trade, I did find him. And it turned out he had been a Major League Baseball player. And as soon as I connected that, I was like, oh, right, Carmen Fanzone. He played for the Cubs in the 1970s. It turned out that 50 years after the fact, he was still very upset about having flunked a class when he was a senior and had to go to summer school, and that his father had been so upset with him at the time that his father didn't speak to him that entire summer. And he actually broke down as we spoke. He cried, which, of course, made me feel horrible. I didn't want to, you know, stir things up. I didn't want to bring back bad memories. And he said, it's okay. Don't worry about it. You didn't cross a line. But it was just this profoundly powerful experience where something as simple as a form on cardstock from 50 years ago could provoke this sort of reaction in somebody. And it really shows the power of something like a report card. And it was a pleasure and a privilege to eventually be able to say to Carmen, you know, here, this is yours. I just felt like I sort of closed up the circle there.
That's Paul Lucas. His series for Slate Magazine is called Permanent Record, about the lives of students at the Manhattan Trade School for Girls as seen through their report cards. You can see, by the way, cards and pictures at hereandnow.org. And as we said, Paul Lucas is a columnist for ESPN.com. I'm not surprised it came back to sports. It kind of came full circle there, too. Paul, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.